I mean, for the Oklahoma City side, they had 18 more field goal attempts. They were only 9-39 for the 3-point line. They out-rebound the Warriors on the offensive end 17-7 and out-rebound them overall plus 8, 50-42. But how are we feeling, Dub Nation, about the win? How are you feeling, Chasky?
I thought it was a great win, but it's difficult. Like, and I'll give this analogy, and I want your opinion on this. You know, like, there's been a lot of strain for the last couple of months on this team, on this roster, and on Steph Curry's face, on the coach's face. And I think about relationships, you know, think about, you know, some sort of a relationship you're in where fighting and there's a lot of strain and, you know, you're thinking about breaking up, or maybe you've been thinking about breaking things up and changing something, right? And then you go on a nice little, you know, go away dinner or a vacation for the weekend. Does that solve all your problems? I don't know. Sometimes it does. Sometimes for people, there's like a, you know, couples therapy, right? And you have like a weekend and you can kind of recalibrate and you get back together. And most times it doesn't, you know? So I'm looking at this from the Thunder aspect of, it feels like multiple years now, the Warriors really match up well against the Thunder, and I can't put my finger on it. I don't know why that is. All their games seem to be very exciting. Yep.
Coming down to the wire.
Why do you think that is?
I think... OKC sometimes shows his age, and I think just by looking at him last night in the playoffs, I could see where they could need to add. They could add another shooter, right? Lou Dort last night, 0-for-4 from the 3-point line. He's hot and cold from there. Caruso left the game with the left ankle sprain.
I think that was a huge injury there. Yeah, I would agree.
He only played 22 seconds last night, sprains the ankle, boom, he's out.
Yeah.
So you don't have one of your rotational players. SGA is a solid player, and we haven't seen him with Chet.
Chet's awesome too.
The Warriors do match up with him because they take quality shots. But on the flip side, OKC is so damn athletic that they don't have to switch anything. Because they go say Warriors. So it's like, it's almost like the old guard trying to hang on as a new kid comes on the block here at OKC, and the Warriors aren't ready to relinquish that throne yet to Oklahoma City. So I don't know why they match up so well with them. They've had some great games over the last couple of years. Some great games.
It's wild to me because, like, I'm trying to balance these things out. Like, I watched you look so bad against the Boston Celtics at full strength, and then you win a game like you did last night where you're shorthanded, and obviously they are with no Chet and no Caruso, but, like, that's still an impressive win. Shea went for 53 or 52 or whatever it was.
52.
I mean,
31, you know, in the first half.
Maybe it's they funnel so much through him, others can't get as rolling. But Jalen was rolling, I thought, for times yesterday. I thought Isaiah Joe kicked our butt. I don't know. I don't know what it is about that team, but I do like the pace of play when we play them.
Right. No, you got to push it against them. You got to make sure you push it. You can't get caught sleeping. Fast break points yesterday. The Warriors actually won the fast break points 18-5.
That's it.
Against a younger team, youngest team in the league. So some people think it's a fluke. I'm not sure 100% why they match up so well with OKC, because on paper it looks like a mismatch. But Andrew Wiggins and GP2 are able to get in front of SGA. And I know he scored 52 points. I mean, he had a night. He got to the free throw line 21 times and made 18 of them. But I thought they made him work in the second half. They made him work. No, I'm not talking about Rihanna and Drake, but they made him work last night at Chase Center. So it's a very fascinating, like, that's why some people drink. We're dreaming last night saying, boy, if you match up with OKC in the first round, what would it look like? What would it look like? Do the Warriors have a shot? But some people believe they do against this team.
I don't know what it would look like. I have no idea what it would look like. But again, that's why I ask about, you know, the relationship thing, because it's like the Warriors have been strained. And I thought last night was a huge win. That's back-to-back wins.
Right.
Well, obviously, you didn't have Curry the night before. So I don't know what the big takeaways are. Like, at some point, they're reintroducing Draymond back into this. Right. And that's going to change how they play basketball. It just does. He's a very specific player, and guys' roles around him start to adjust, which goes back to the whole starting lineup and 8 gazillion. You guys showed it on the
28 different lineups, most in the league, tied with Philadelphia and New Orleans. Or New Orleans is up there on that list. Utah's on that list. And there's another bad team on that list as well. They're all teams that are either out of the box or barely in the box. And the Warriors are trying to get into the box. Right now, they're a half game up. Excuse me, they're tied with Sacramento, but don't have the tiebreaker due to Sacramento being 2-0 against the Golden State Warriors. But you beat Phoenix. All of a sudden, Phoenix has 23 losses. Then you look at the 6-seed, the LA Clippers. You're not going to win a tiebreaker against them, but you are 3 games back in a loss column against them. You're 4 back in a loss column against behind Denver and the Lakers. And you still play the Denver Nuggets a couple more times, and you play the Lakers a couple more times. So plenty of time to flip this thing. Four games in a loss column, but you got to start stacking wins here because you saw Sacramento. They were red hot, 9-1 in their last 10, and they barely got into the box. Now they're back at 24-23, and their superstar, their franchise player, wants out. He wants to be in San Antonio. So they're a mess right now. They're going to start dropping Sacramento, that is. The beam's not going to be lit as much as frequently as it was the last couple weeks. So everybody's going to save on their PG&E bill up there in Sacramento and Elk Grove and Rockland and all those areas up there. Sacramento's, the fade is coming. Trust me. The fade is coming with them. Hey, you can bank that one.
I love how, like, you are so 100% positive on that. And it's just, I love
you gotta
that.
Talk
the NBA has a problem right now, ladies and gentlemen.
See, I go on their shows up in Sacramento, and I show a rep the Bay. And I talk that talk. That's why they can respect it. Hey, Sacramento, you're going down. You had your fun in the sun. Have fun with your banner that you raised after January 5th when you beat the Warriors by 30 at Chase Center. The Warriors are the one that blew an 18-point lead against Sacramento. Nobody worried about Sacramento anymore. their fun in the sun is done.
No one's worried about Sacramento.
Nobody's worried about Sacramento.
Like 1,000 teams in the standings.
Sacramento, man. Let's go. You got to feel confident after a win.
What did you
know what? I'm getting arrogant after a win like
that.
What
did you call it?
Whackermino.
Whackermino. I don't think I've heard that.
Whackermino. Sacktown, what's up? I'm feeling good. They just beat the Thunder, damn it. I'm not, you know what? I'm not going to rain on my parade. Joy, we're talking trades, all that nonsense. I'm talking about Andrew Wiggins, show a championship heart last night. How about Kevon Looney? Can we finally put some respect on Kevon Looney's name? Old man Loon, Loon Dog, tying the career high with 18 points, championship heart, championship grit. You know, one thing I was thinking about too, when I was thinking about this last night on the way home, like those great Laker teams, Spadoni, you're a Laker fan. You know about the Lakers left and right. They held on to their core players for so long. Why? Championship heart. Why did Kurt Rambis stick around for so damn long? Why did Byron Scott stick around for so damn long? Why did Michael Cooper stick around for so long? Championship heart, championship grit. Those players don't grow on trees. All respect to Loon Dog. I'm feeling good right now. Oh, my games woke up. Warriors get the big win. I'm feeling arrogant today. Go beat up on the Suns on Friday, and then it sets up a monster matchup against Orlando. Let's go. Come on.
I
saw this doom and gloom this week. You're over 500 BOKC. Let's go.
Well, I think the problem is that this team's been so inconsistent this year. They'll win a game like that, and then they'll drop a game to, you know, someone super random, like the Raptors. You know, like they'll struggle against a Utah team that's begging you to beat them, like literally begging you to beat them. So I'd like to see the 3-game win streak.
Yeah, let's do it. First time since November 15th. No, you don't have to be all in. I'm not all in. Look, I know you are, but I'm not. Look.
But that's what this team has done to me this year.
This is what it is, man. I'm trying to look for guys I could build around. I'm trying to look for guys I could build with. And right now, I know I could build with Wiggins. That's for damn sure. I hope y'all bought stock into him before the season. I was right about something around here. And then Looney. Look, I don't know if he's a 25-minute player. I don't know if he's a 15-minute player. But whenever he gets in the damn game, he doesn't look overwhelmed. He's going to be in the right spot. I could leave him one-on-one. Sure, some centers may have their way against him. But he's going to bust his ass and give you maximum effort. And a guy is a winner. Can we just put that on Kevon Looney? The guy's a winner. He's a winner. Let's go to Oreo Cookie in Oakland. I'm fired up right now. Just beat the number one team in the league. Let's go, Dub Nation. Oreo Cookie.
That's right, baby. You're right. Hey, you're right, man. That was a good win. Excellent win. The vibes were great. People were smiling. You know, they were hustling, man. You got to see that. You got to see that as where Kerr has wanted this team to have some confidence. They had some confidence last night. They had some joy. Let's see what he does with that confidence. He has to build it up. Let them keep playing. Let them keep going. I liked what I saw yesterday, man, minus Draymond. Now, when it comes to Draymond and Kerr, you might have to force your hand, man. You might have to just get rid of Draymond for like 2 second rounders and a bag of chips, man. Say them to the Lakers, you know, addition by subtraction type of thing. Because what I saw last night, man, I loved it, man. I want to see more of it. We don't want to see what we're used to seeing with Draymond. But something came to me last night that I want to share with you guys.
Okay.
Give me a second here.
Yeah.
Cold out here for a pimp, trying to get the money for the rent. When Shasky and Bonte spit, got all the roasters in the bay getting lit. Holla at your boy.
Well played, Oreo Cookie.
Love it.
Well played, Oreo Cookie.
I love it.
I love it. He said Draymond for 2 second round picks and what?
A bag of chips.
A bag of chips.
Is it barbecue? Are we going salt and vinegar? It depends on the flavor.
Or Ruffles.
I like the green onion and sour cream.
Yeah, I like the Ruffles. Cheddar and sour cream.
I'm not mad at that.
Honestly, I like all of the flavors. It depends the type. Like, I like to, I mix and match. Like, okay, today I'm salt and vinegar.
Right.
Tomorrow I'll be green onion.
Why not?
Casey Masterpiece Lay's barbecue.
Now, is that a Freestyle of the Year nominee?
It might be.
I just put it in the folder of our freestyle. So,
there it is.
Our first freestyle of the year.
Hey, man, let's go to Chi-Town. Let's go to the Windy City. I know it's cold as hell out there.
Are we going directly to Zach LaVine?
No, we're going directly to Alexander. Oh. Alexander the Great in Chicago. Now, what part of Chicago are you in? Are you in River North? Are you on the west side? Where are you at, Alexander?
I'm in Naperville. I'm in the suburbs.
Oh, yeah, Naperville. Yeah, you in the burbs, baby.
Moving on up.
You got big money over there, Alexander. Yeah. Big money.
Nah, I wouldn't say all that, man, but I mean, it is pretty nice out this way, though, you know, but
nice.
Yeah, man, that's pretty much where I'm at. But first of all, thank God for having me on. I want to say something pretty much about the Andrew Wiggins trade and the Jimmy Butler trade, and I know y'all going to really hate me for this. Warriors Nation, y'all probably going to hate me for this, but I think they should make that trade. And here's why I would say that. First of all, it's so interesting for Warrior fans because, like, the last 2-3 years, Andrew Wiggins has been most hated. Right? We have this love-hate relationship with Andrew Wiggins where it's like the last 2 years, everybody was like, we need to trade Wiggins. We need to trade Wiggins. We need to trade Wiggins. And Wiggins, he wasn't playing games. He wasn't showing up. This game, he had 15, 20 points. The other game, you couldn't find him. You know what I'm saying? And Wiggins had his issues and different things like that. Me personally, I think Wiggins is a great player, and really, I would always give him his flowers, and I think he should go, man. I think we should go ahead and get off him, because another issue is a roster overload, which has been a constant issue with the Golden State Warriors, which is why we on these inconsistent runs right now, because Steve Kerr, he doesn't really have a lineup that he wants to stick with.
But let me ask you this, Alexander. By trading your best two-way player, how does that solve your problems? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I don't think any trade solves problems.
I would rather just stand pat with a guy like Andrew Wiggins. I'm looking for other guys that maybe move. I have Andrew Wiggins on a team-friendly deal with the player option who can guard at a high level, give me 17, 18 a night. Go ask NBA players. Scoring at 17, 18 a night in the NBA is very hard, very difficult. We talk about it like it's easy.
That's true. But listen, we got to believe in Kuminga. We got to go with Kuminga versus Wiggs. If we're talking about the future, yeah, we got to really lock into Kuminga. Wiggins, he had his role. He had his go around. He gave us a championship ring.
But why not keep both, Alexander? I think both can play together. Both can coexist. Kuminga right now is a four. It's obvious. Wiggins is the better perimeter player. You could play both these guys.
Warriors fans, they can't exist, man. It just can't. And as great as the game he had last night, right? The game was like awesome. But it's just like you can't have both of them. If we keeping both of these guys, it's gonna be the same situation, and it's actually gonna get worse. And we gonna find ourselves being a team who can't even make the play in, because it's like now when Kuminga comes back, it's like, okay, should we go Wiggs or should we go Kuminga?
I think go both.
With Kevon Looney and Gary Payton.
Alexander, I think there's other avenues to go here. I think you could go with Kuminga and Wiggins to play them together. I don't know when this lie started. I know Steve Kerr said it, and then all of a sudden he started playing them together. It was like, oh, wow, they can play together.
Well, no, I think where he's going with the redundancy is that there is like a cluster. So, like, everybody likes Gee. You want to see a little more post, but those guys are role players. But you also have TJD and you have Looney, and then you have Draymond, and then you have Kuminga, and you have Kyle Anderson. So there is a logjam of what I would call fours and fives.
No doubt.
Right.
But I can keep Wiggins and Kuminga.
Oh,
the rest I'm figuring out.
I think, Bonte, that would be most people's preference.
Okay, that's what Alexander said. He doesn't believe that Wiggins
and
Kuminga. So that's what I'm rebuttally
here. Yeah, that's
his
opinion.
But what he said is that they can't play together, and I'm disagreeing with Alexander in Chicago, say that they can play together. And we can go a different avenue on how to fix this roster. Kuminga's diving to the rim, ducking on your head. But on the perimeter, Andrew Wiggins got the full arsenal, man. He's got the one dribble pull-up. He's driving to the rim. He's playing on the three. Last night, 5 of 8 from the three-point line, for crying out loud. Catching and shooting. So smooth. So smooth. And then you get both of these guys on the defensive end of the floor, where I'm looking at the playoffs where the game does slow down. And they've got Jalen Williams and SGA, for example, Oklahoma City. When I get Wiggins or a combination of Dennis Schroeder, GP2, running around guarding SGA, and maybe, just maybe, Kuminga can stand pat. Now, he's not there defensively yet, but that's a guy I could put on a guy like Chet or Jalen Williams and let him run around on the perimeter and guard those guys. I got two really good wing defenders. When you got nothing but good wing players in the league, I'm hesitant to move off the wing players in Andrew Wiggins and Jonathan Kuminga. I think you could make it work with both of these guys. I truly do. I would go another avenue to try to maybe make room for another player or make another trade. But Wiggins and Kuminga, I think it got something there alongside Steph. I really do.
I think again, that's most people's preference. But then, you know, if you want to get something else at the deadline, which they're going to have to do here of significance, somebody's got to have a salary that's tradable. And so you can't just give up all the expirings. And that's why Wiggins' name has been floated as much as it has. And then you see a game that he plays like last night, and it's tantalizing. And I guess some people throw up their hands and they go, man, can we see this more consistently? You know, my rebuttal would be like, this year, it's inarguable. Wiggins has been the most consistent guy on this team from start to finish. But he's also got one of the more, you know, easily tradable contracts, and he's desired around the league. And so that's why I think his name continues to pop up for a lot of people. Yeah, I'm reluctant. You know who I want to move. I don't want to keep saying it because I'm going to sound like I'm doing reruns.
Wiggins is 29 years old, turns 30 February 23rd, the same day as my mom's birthday. Same day, February 23rd. Andrew Wiggins on the season, 17-5, 44% from the field, and 38% from the three-point line. Let's